Heavenly Father, right now we lay the very heart and soul of the church down before you. And once again, as we put who we are as a people on the potter's wheel, we ask that you would shape us and that you would mold us for your glory. Speak to us today, we pray. Touch our eyes and our ears, that we would see, that we would hear what it is that you're saying to us. And touch our hearts, that your word would take root and begin to take shape. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a church, we are in a period of exploring our values. In September last year, we outlined what we believed to be our core values, that which is in the soil of the church, our shared characteristic, our ethos. And we spent some time exploring those in Scripture. And as we do that, I kind of pick up that a lot of what God is saying is about shaping us as a church and shaping us collectively as a people and talking about our very characteristic and personality as a group of people. And this morning we continue on that, and the value that we're sitting in at the moment is serving as our stance. And just before Christmas, we kind of steered into this one, and we used the Christmas story to see the presence of this value within Scripture. But today we return to the value to look at it through the lens of the Scripture that we're anchoring in for this particular text, and the bookmarks will be available for that next Sunday. But the value says this: serving is our stance. We're a church with a call to serve. We give our everything to serving the purpose of God and the needs of those around us. Our value of serving is defined in two parts: the serving of the purpose of God and the serving of the needs of those around us. And this, we said, is our call. This is the call that sits on the Christian life. It is our shared mandate. It is what we are commanded to give our everything to. And the text that we anchor in for this value calls out this truth and invites us to anchor our everything, as our value says, in holding serving as our stance. The text that we turn to for this is Romans chapter 15. And again, I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. That's a challenge. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus. When we read these words, the phrase that we are instantly drawn to is the phrase, strength is for service, not status. It's quite a significant sentence that the Message translation calls out. And it's a significant one for us to sit on and even anchor ourselves within. Because it is truth that if you take a step back, if you come out of the goldfish bowl almost, and look in on the landscape of modern day church, we can see that the church, as in the wider church, Christian influencers and faith leaders have begun a bit of a dance with the concept of status. You only need to look at the social media profiles of churches, ministries, and leaders, listen in to the rhetoric surrounding church culture and ministry approaches, and you can begin to see the emphasis is placed these days on promoting our deeds, promoting our size, our structure, and the efforts being taken towards growth. I'm talking here about Church Universal. If we do a reality check and we take a bit of a step back and look in, we can see that the church culture in our generation is dancing with status more now than it has ever done before. And you could perhaps begin to see that the church in some senses has begun to lose sight of the call and the foundation of service and therefore of what and who the church is serving and the need to rest in his status as the influencer of all things and not seek to present our own. This dance with status is one that God has warned us as Glasgow Elam for a while now to stay away from. And we are not perfect by any manner of means. We are a work in progress. But we try our best to hide from the spotlight. And we try our best, more importantly, to hide from turning our spotlight on and beginning to believe and orchestrate our own press. In this really crucial season of tending to our roots and embracing our shape and our culture, God brings us for a while to sit in what is indeed a very shaping and a very defining ethos. We take time in this value. And we take time in this value to in order to ensure that we root properly within it, that we grasp it, and that we let what God is speaking to us grasp hold of us and shape us. Strength is for service, not status. And to be fully shaped by this value, we have to frame it properly. Because this is not merely about social action. It's not about activities and efforts, although they will flow out of this. But to be clear, this isn't about shoeboxes and food banks and coats or winter warmers. This is about shaping the very ethos, mindset, and stance of our community. This value is, therefore, a really definitive value for us as a people. And I guess the reason why this value is one that I sense God seeking to mature in us and therefore to be so definitive for us is because of the journey that we've been on. Permit me to share a little bit of heart. When you arrive in a church as a new pastor, your first job is to begin to get a feel for the church, to assess where the church is at, what potential it holds, its health, its current state, to then begin to understand the journey that that God has had the church on and the journey that he seeks to unfold and how you can guide and steer and walk as part of the church within that journey. Now, let's be clear. Pastoring and church leadership, whilst requiring skills and experience, the whole process really rests in anointing, gifts, abilities, and wisdoms that don't lie within the self, but do lie entirely in God. This church is not my church, and neither is this church your church. It is his church. Amen? He is shaping and molding, leading and directing the journey of his church in line with his purpose. And our role within that is just to walk the pathway that he unfolds for us, carrying what it is that he has given to us. And within a short period of time after arriving at the church, Susan and I came to recognize what we already knew. And that is that Glasgow Elam is a great church. Amen. Glasgow Elam is a great church with a brilliant heritage and an even greater potential that not only lies in our future, but is very much sitting on the horizon of our present. Our church is made up of wonderful people with a huge heart for God and a deep desire to serve him and to serve his purpose fully. And such a heart and culture is most likely why God entrusted this church historically with a move of his spirit, with a significant growth period, and with a wellspring of healing and renewal. And from our initial conversations arriving at the church and as part of our assessment and health check, we heard all about renewal. We heard all about multiple services, church plants, vast programs, extensive schedules, house groups, connect groups, cell groups, hubs, whatever we were calling them, as well as men's ministry, women's ministry, kids and youth ministry, community outreach and ministry, great ventures and wonderful events. It is clear that as a people, you are proud of your church. And so we all should be. Because there is much within the life and the history of Glasgow Elam that is worthy of holding a sense of pride in. And in a sense, Although we always kick against pride as something negative in Christianity and as in faith, but in a sense, there's nothing wrong with this sense of pride. Because actually what it points to is the value that we discern very quickly, and that is the family ethos that lies at the heart of this big structure. Family are proud of family and what they achieve. If you give me 5 minutes, I will happily spend all day talking, 5 minutes all day. I'll happily spend all day talking to you about how immensely proud I am of my family. I have a phenomenal wife and I have 2 incredible kids, and what they do makes my heart swell with pride. That's family. So it's not wrong to feel a sense of pride in our church. It's right in a sense because it points to family. However, within those initial conversations was a desire at times and a very strong urging at other times to maintain and develop the things in which there was pride. Because we were, as Susan and I were frequently told in those early days, we are the biggest Elam church in Scotland. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with those suggestions to maintain and develop that which we see God in or that which we sense pride in. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, except we felt God saying, wait. And we moved into a period of gathering stones instead of scattering stones. So we brought everything into one service and we sought to intentionally build shape within that structure as we began to seek God together for our church. And we began to allow that gathering point to become the altar from which God began to shape the aspects of our church and of our culture. Now, there was a lack of clarity on my part in terms of communication, as I sought to try and balance what I sensed God was saying, which was wait, and to balance that alongside the expectations of programs, events, and ministry ventures. And I hold my hands up to that I didn't get it right, and I didn't do that the best. But there was a period, from my perspective anyway, where there was a bit of tension in trying to hold in balance the voice of God with the voices of the people. And it was a pretty uncomfortable period for us all. Now, why bring all of this up again? Because we've spoken openly about this and dealt with it. So why? And the reason is not to have a go and it's not to make a point, but it was actually to show that what we discerned was that within the soil, there was a tiny little bit of a desire to maintain status. And the motivation and the heart for that was not necessarily wrong, but it was there. And that's not unnatural. There's been moves of God, growth in definitive ministry structures and practices that had shaped the journey and the mode of the church up to this point, things that the church was known for, the structure that befitted the church's reputation, and then a new guy comes in and what has been suddenly isn't. And I mean, obviously it wasn't as drastic as that because there was a pandemic in the middle of it all, so it wasn't as bleak as that, but what was known and understood to have shaped the church was not immediately dialed back into place. And it looked on the surface like a bit of a backward step. And I didn't really get why God was saying wait. I didn't understand the motive behind the longer pause, except this constant reassurance that he gave that he was focusing on culture over structure. And upon reflecting on those conversations this week, and reflecting upon those conversations that took place around about that point, I wonder if actually, under the soil, God was wanting to remove the roots of the tiny trace of the pursuit of status and instead strengthen the existing heart for service that was part of the church. I think maybe that's why this wait took place, was because stuff was having to die in the soil to make room for this season that he was bringing us into. And I say that today because I think this could be a really defining experience for us as a church and a significant factor, if not the gateway to the season of peace. And that is that if we can hold together in a place of unity, if we can grasp as a church family the truth that strength is for service, not status, I think this could actually step us over the threshold into the season of peace. I think it could be the guide for bringing true and lasting growth, encouragement and empowerment by the Spirit, and the strengthening that we all seek as a people. Because hypothetically, let me be coy, What if God's purpose wasn't that we were the biggest Elam church in Scotland? Who really cares about that? What if he wasn't calling us to host another wave of his spirit? What if his call was for us to go in a different direction that didn't bring with it reputation, size, or status? The truth is, if we are to say that this is his church, then that means that he has to have permission to shape it in line with what is his ideal and not what is in line with ours. And that means that we have to use what we have to serve the purpose that he's given us and not the status that we wish for or desire. Now, to be clear, I actually do believe God is leading us into a season of growth. I do believe he's going to move amongst us again, and I think we've together been clear that we think he is calling us and positioning us to host his glory. But even if he wasn't, our heart stand should be to serve whatever he calls us to, because what he calls us to do, his purpose, is that which is best for us and where we find life. In these verses in Romans 15, Paul puts forward the case for believers to adopt serving as their stance. And he quotes Jesus' life and ministry as the example and the rationale for this, and we'll who can really argue with that, right? And his call is almost prophetic, because he's writing to a church in its formative years, a church that is finding its feet in its ministry journey and beginning to build upon its gospel foundations. It is growing into its culture and its ethos. And Paul writes so powerfully and he writes so eloquently to them, and he says to them, do not strive for status. Do not become motivated by self and self-gain and self-benefits, but instead become a people who are not self-focused but others-focused. Equally, don't serve your own status as a people. Don't focus on your own dominion or your own little empire. Serve the kingdom. And you know, that challenged me and it got me thinking. Have we lost sight of kingdom within wider church culture today? Have we become empire-focused instead of kingdom-minded, where each church seeks to grow its own influence as wide as it possibly can, instead of developing the mindset of growing the kingdom's influence as wide as it possibly can? Have we at times got so caught up in our own brand of church and in growing the brand and the flavor that we've actually forgotten the role that we play as churches alongside one another in the vineyard, which is to serve the same Lord and advance the one kingdom, not our own little brand of it? Paul calls out some pretty foundational stuff to this community of Christians. He says, use what you have for the service of God. These verses really are about shaping the culture and the values of this people group, because he basically says to them, this is to be your stance. Strength is for service, not status. Or another way that you could word it, as I found when attending a conference in Birmingham this week, and across the road from the travel lodge where James and I were staying, in huge letters was these words: service before self. As I'd been sitting in those verses this week, meditating upon them, God placed them in my line of vision this week, quite literally. Serving is to be our stance. What does that mean, to hold service as our stance? The word stance is defined as this: as a way of thinking about something, especially expressed in publicly stated opinion. It's a way of standing. Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says to them, strength is for service, not status. He is, in these words, shaping the stance of the church. What he writes here is to shape their thought processes and their attitudes, but it's also to shape the way that they are to take a stand, the way that they minister, the way that they stand up within their beliefs, the way that they hold those beliefs and carry them. Their whole faith is to be outworked in service. Folks, our whole faith is to be outworked in service. This is to be our stance. In terms of our mental processing of faith, as in the way that we interpret, the way that we think through, the way that we intellectually dissect our beliefs and understand them. In terms of living out our faith and the way that we put our faith into action, the way that we hold and carry our faith system, the way that we stand up in our beliefs and hold those beliefs and carry those beliefs, the way that they come to land in us and live in us, all of that is to be outworked from one anchor point. Strength is for service, not status. This is quite a profound call that the apostle puts forward. Because the call of service before self kind of goes against everything that popular culture would teach and promote these days. Mindfulness and self-care are the order of the day. And to be fair, it's not wrong that they are. We need to look after ourselves. We need to put margins in place that care for the components of who we are. And I've learned that quite painfully recently. But as always is the case, popular culture seems to swing to the extremes before then coming back to center again. And here the apostle tells us where for the believer our center should be. Strength is for service, not status. And he backs this up by pointing to the one who is our role model and our true north. And he tells us that's exactly what Jesus did. Well-known passage of scripture in Philippians says this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In other words, your mindset, your ethos, your stance that you have to take and live out with your life, your stance is to be the same as the stance that Christ took. And here is his stance. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus didn't look for status. He could have. He wouldn't have been wrong to do so. He walked the earth as the Son of God. He interacted with that which he had created. Their ability to interact with him, their cognitive ability, was that which he gave to them and shape with them. But he didn't hold as his goal the serving of his own status. He didn't use his status to his own advantage and focus on his own personal gain, but instead embodied a two-pronged focus of serving the purpose of God and serving the needs of those around him. He stated it directly. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is his ethos. This is the attitude and mindset that he held. This is the stance that he took, the way that he stood up in the world and carried and held and operated with the kingdom of God. His focus was not on status, but on serving the purpose of God and the needs of those around him. To live in faith, to live in genuine faith, is to reject the pursuit of status. Therefore, to be a genuine community of believers, a true representation of Christ, if we are to hold the title of the body of Christ, then we need to have the same mindset, the same attitude. We must adopt the same stance as Christ, which means that we must stand up in our faith, hold our faith, carry our belief like Jesus did. We must hold serving as our stance and anchor in this truth. Strength is for service, not status. This really is countercultural within our world and our society. And here's what these words call out. Strength, that is power, ability, capacity, quality, numbers, is not for gaining and maintaining status. Resources, opportunity, authority, riches, wealth, size, influence is not a reflection of status or to be used to achieve status. It is given for the purpose of serving. In the economy of God, he gives strength for service. What would it look like for an entire church community to anchor in the truth that strength is for service and not for status? It could be countercultural, not just in terms of popular culture, but in terms of popular church culture. What could happen if an entire community adopted as its ethos, its values, its mindset and attitude, if it held as a core belief that shaped all thinking, all processing, all action and activity, that strength is for service and not for status? If we began to pour our everything, all that we recognize is coming from God, all that we recognize is given by God to enable us to do what we're called to do and to be what we're called to be, our size, our numbers, our resources, our finance, our manpower and our woman power, our voice, our collective shape, our influence. What if we took all of that as a community of people and directed all of it into service? And what if the shared goal that we strive for and work towards was that which we agreed would never, ever, ever be status, recognition, or reputation, just serving? If the spotlights turned off and the curtains swept back into place, and there in that place, in the season of peace, behind the scenes, we quietly but directly, without being seen or heard, just motored towards using strength for service, I think it could be transformative. Now, we need to frame this ethos and value appropriately to understand what God is rooting us in. We're not just talking here about social action efforts or planned activities, although undoubtedly these will be present and will flow out of this. The structure that comes with this culture will, without any doubt, include things akin to what we've already turned our hands to in both the distant and recent past. Things like shoebox appeals and coats for kids and food bank and winter warmers and supporting children's homes and salt and light buses. And the list is endless, because we can see this ethos in our heritage and we can begin to build upon it and dream even further of what that could be and what that could look like. And I can't wait to get to that place. But that structure, what we're talking about here is culture. We're talking about our DNA, our characteristic spirit, our shared attitude as a people. We're talking about agreeing and holding together the stance of serving. What does that look like within a church community? Well, the passage answers that question. The apostle is writing to a church people, and he says to them, here's some practical steps as to how you can hold strength for service and not for status. He writes to this church, building upon its gospel foundation, seeking to shape their stance, and he calls out some things that they can do that will foster this culture. He says, holding the value of strength for service and status has kind of three hallmarks, three steps, three practical things. And believe it or not, since that first Sunday, I have been working at keeping things tighter and shorter and sermon length and stuff. So we're just going to drop in on them really quickly and not expand upon them too much. But as we do so, forgive me if it comes across curt, it's not intended to be. There are three points that the apostle calls out, two of which sit under serving the needs of those around us, one of which is all about serving the purpose of God. And the apostle says, this is what it looks like to hold service as your stance. It looks like stepping in and lending a hand to those who falter. This is undoubtedly where we see the fingerprints of Jesus. We can see the times in his ministry when his focus was in stepping in, reaching out, helping the weak, the frail, and the faltering, bringing healing, releasing peace, speaking words of comfort, speaking words of forgiveness, reaffirming and affirming individuals, releasing miracles and deliverance. And as he did, so are we called. to care for those who struggle, those who fail, those who fall, those who stray, those for whom life becomes challenging and difficult. And again, we see with this the focus away from our own status, the focus away from our own self to the serving of the needs of those around us. This is the Good Samaritan call. And it's the Good Samaritan call that holds many applications and implications, but the call is clear and it has an impact both inside and outside the church walls. We are to step in and lend a hand. We are to support one another and care for one another. The NIV says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. And the truth of the matter is, there is two descriptions of two types of people, the strong and the weak, and it's a guarantee that at numerous points in our walk with Jesus, we will end up in both of those categories. And so we serve, and in time we will be served, and we serve, and in time we will be served. We are to step in and lend a hand. We are to support one another and care for one another. But he builds upon that further, and he says, it also looks like each one looking after the good of those around us. This is an interesting one, and permit me to be a bit bold. But notice that it doesn't say serving looks like the pastors looking after the good of those in the community. But it says each one doing so. Each person is responsible for the pastoral care and well-being of the community. It's right there in the Bible. And it's repeated and echoed in other scriptures. Each person is responsible for the pastoral care and well-being of our community. And this is when this ethos strikes the heart of the community and sits as a shared value of the community, when the responsibility for the well-being and the care for one another sits as a shared responsibility. And when the community begins to look after the community, that is when the serving of one another is indeed seen as the strength of the community. He calls out some practical things, and they sit under that heading, as it were, of just serving the needs of those around us. Strength is for service and not for status, and here's how we do it. We look to see how we can serve the needs of those around us. But then he leans into serving the purpose of God, and he says, it also looks like this. It looks like asking ourselves, how can I help? Permit me again to be bold and ask you a question. How do you help within this community? If each one asked this question, how can I help? As in, where is the area that needs help? Where is the need? What can I do to serve it? How can I use my strengths for service? And not, what do I want to do to help? You'll notice the scripture doesn't say, asking ourselves the question, what is it that I want to do to platform my gifts and ministries? How can my strengths be platformed? We need to be a wee bit clear here in our modern day church take that has risen up within this time of ministry. And I'm not just talking here, generally. We need to be clear that the Bible doesn't describe the church as that which is to serve your ministries or giftings and advance your ministry, but your giftings and your ministries are to serve the church and advance the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is the ministry of the kingdom. And so there comes some big questions that we need to grapple with. Do you turn up at Glasgow Elim each week expecting to be served? Your needs, your kids, your faith, your spirituality, your well-being. Do you serve or expect to be served? We might say, well, where is the opportunity? Is it only in welcome team and kids and youth ministry? Is it only in teen coffee? Is it only in serving communion, taking offering and cleaning? Is it only in manning the car park, helping in the grounds or in the worship team or in sound or in media? Well, at the moment, do you know what? That's where the need is. It might not be sexy, and it might not be appealing, but it's where we need help. And if I can be direct again, if you're not willing to serve the needs of the house, then can you really say that your stance is that strength is for service and not status? We could say the same about our resources and what we have and the way that we handle those. Do we give as an act of service? See, the church has a mandate stamped over it. We have a purpose that we all hold together. God gives it to us, and he calls us to roll up our sleeves and get involved in serving that in the variety of needs and the variety of ways. And in doing so, we serve the purpose of God and we advance the ministry and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. However, we would be amiss and we would not be handling the word properly if we only viewed the church as the arena for service, because that's not the case. The whole world is the arena within which we are called to serve the purpose of God and the needs of those around us. Because according to Paul, that is exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and he helped out. The Son of Man came not to serve, but to be not to be served, but to serve. He didn't focus on self or status, but on serving. Strength is for service. God has given you strengths, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He's given you literal strengths, strengths that sit in your ability, your character, strengths that sit within your mental ability, your intellectual ability, strengths that sit within your artistic and creative ability, as well as strengths that sit within your resources and that which you have to steward. And we adopt a measure of Christ-likeness. Spiritual formation happens. Discipleship is found when your strengths are used in service and not status. Because when you take that which you have, that which you've been given, when you take your unique strengths and make the decision that the focus and the outworking of those is not merely for your own gain or for your own benefit, but are going to be used in the service of other people and the purpose of God, then you move the focus of the strength from self and status to that which lives and breathes like Jesus Christ. When we take serving as a stance, that is when we consciously act and decide that the way we're going to stand up in our beliefs, the way that we process our faith and interpret our belief system, the way that our faith comes to land in us and is held and is carried in us is not ever going to be in the pursuit of status, but it is going to be in the serving of God and those round about us. Well, in that moment, Christ becomes formed in us. Discipleship happens. There is a formation in the soul and in the heart and in the mind that takes place when we reject that which sits at the heart of popular culture and instead to choose that which sits in the very heart of Christ. We often have this mindset that discipleship is all about the laying on of hands and the casting out and memorizing scripture and doing life together and ministry and all the spiritual stuff. And it is. It involves all of that stuff. It's all part of discipleship. But discipleship, spiritual formation, Christ is equally formed in us when we begin to reject that which sits in popular culture and choose instead to live and move and breathe with that which sits at his heart. We take his shape. We adopt his movement. We embrace his attitude. We walk his walk when we hold strength for service and not for status. The Bible says, Jesus went around doing good. Full stop. What a phenomenal verse. He entered every moment looking to serve the purpose of God and looking to serve the needs of those around him. For him, strength was for service and not for status. And when we take the same stance in life as a people, we become like him. We embody him. When we take his stance as a church, collectively putting our united strength into service and rejecting and dying to popular church culture of status, then there behind the scenes with the spotlights off and the curtains drawn, we step into real, genuine peace, sincere and deep growth, and the movement and momentum of the Holy Spirit that strengthens us, comforts us, empowers us, and encourages us. I really do believe that we come to a definitive value, that when framed properly, when coming to life within us, it could actually be the gateway to the season of peace. Let's commit to exploring service as our stance. Let's gather around, let's anchor ourselves, let's surrender afresh to the call that strength is for service and not for status. And let's begin a journey of being shaped like Jesus and give our everything to serving the purpose of God and the needs of those around us.